Welcome back to Word on the Street, and we are bringing you our fifth and final show.
And you are listening to me, Carolina, here with my co-host Leah. We have Leanne driving the desk, Lariah on our social media, and Jinge as our producer. Today we're bringing you an interview with our producer Jinge about how life is as an international Chinese student.
We also went to the Climate Strike Leicester exhibition at the Leicester Museum and Art Gallery, where we asked about the climate exhibition and what was the most impactful about it.
We're also going to take a deep dive into National Student Day back in Portugal, as well as catch up with Oliver Lyle on the rent strike happening in the University of Manchester.
And let's not forget about our final artist spotlight. Stay tuned till the end of the show to find out who it is. See, I told you, it's going to be another fun show packed with plenty of interesting discussions.
Now, we are playing some of our favorite songs, but we want to know what your favorite song is. So head over to our Twitter at DemonFM and tell us your favorite song.
You are listening to Word on the Street. Get involved with the show and tweet us at DemonFM on Twitter.
Life at university, it's stressful, but it's fun. Carolina, how was your time in the UK so far?
Well, even though I'm in a desperate need of some vacation, my experience in the UK didn't let me down, and I'm really glad that I came here, because I probably wouldn't be able to get this knowledge that I have in Portugal, because I cannot find a course as complete as this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, well, today we're going to hear a few words from our producer, Jinge, who shared with us how life is as an international student studying in Leicester. Hi, Jinge.
Hi. Yes, in my first year was in online course because of the COVID 2019 epidemic. Nothing special about it. Was just when I had class, I was just looking at the screen. It's just most people don't have this experience, because no one could have imagined that my first year at this university would be spent looking at the camera through a screen. However, when I come to the UK in the second year, it was a completely different experience. The difference in countries means that it is a diverse society, and you can always hear the different languages in school or in street. Compared to China, I have to do almost everything on my own. In the UK, and I have to organize my own life every day, you know, without the supervision of my family. It was just largely up to me to discipline myself and take charge of my own schedule in terms of study. So it's just taking my independence of a few notches. But to be honest, the experiences of studying in is pretty much the same. Yeah, because it is really same to in China.
Okay, so Jinge, what are some of the differences you found in the UK compared to China when studying?
Well, you know, yeah, because in China, every day, my parents will be supervising me, and my teacher will always just text me some message for me. Jinge, you must to read all the things by yourself. Yeah, because, you know, in China, I always study with other else, the mm-hmm. English test system, because I need the really high score, like 6.5 part one. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I weekly with English, and so many people will always say, "Oh, it's really hard with English speaking and writing." And my father and my mother, you know, they just said, "You must emphasize your head and your idea, and you need to read all the materials all day." So every day, even I want to take a rest, mm-hmm. but I can't do that, because my mother and my father will be mourning to me. I just stay in my grandfather's house. Every day I get up in the 6 o'clock, and every night I just went back my home in the 10 p.m. So only thing I can do is just listening to music and spend 30 minutes, a half hour, yeah, play game. That's because my grandfather, they said this thing just fine.
Yeah, I think we can totally relate to the experience of having classes during COVID. It was just boring and very difficult to concentrate. Also, I'm sure I'm not the only one, but as an international student, I wanted to go and explore Leicester and as well as other parts of the UK, and I just couldn't because, well, COVID.
Yeah. Yeah, and one weird thing I've started doing, right, is standing on the left-hand side of the escalator instead of keeping to the right-hand side. My Londoners know what I'm getting at here. I was in London last weekend for my birthday, and I had people huffing and tutting behind me on the escalator. And at first, I thought it was Londoners, you know, being their usual grumpy selves, until I realised I was stood on the left-hand side of the escalator. Shout out to the five people who are probably still getting dirty looks from their managers for being late to work. Do I qualify as a Leicestrian now?
So thank you, Jinge, for sharing your experience with us. Make sure to head over to our Twitter at DemonFM and let us know what your favorite song is. And it's time for me to launch my riddle, which is, in the last academic year of 2021-2022, how many international students were pursuing their degree in the UK? Let us know your guess at DemonFM. You tweet us our favorite songs, which we have only one answer. That is from Jack Daldry. I'm afraid I'm saying your name wrong. And he's saying, Undisclosure Desires by Muse.
If you haven't tweeted us yet, don't worry. You've still got time to let us know what your favourite song is. Get in touch over on our Twitter at DemonFM.
Earlier this week, we decided to check in with the Climate Strike Leicester, who put on an amazing exhibition at the Leicester Museum and Art Gallery in Newark about their work as an organisation.
We spoke to you, the people of Leicester, who happened to be at the Art Gallery the same time as us, and we asked you specifically, what about the exhibition hit you the hardest?
Seeing how the movement grew and sustained itself and has meant so much to the people who took part in it.
The showing of what the change has been done, the impact of the people's work, and that people have just done this because they've decided to do it because they believe in something rather than it's something they've been told to do or something that they have to do to earn money. It's all about a belief in changing the world that we live in.
Well, I'm from the museum. It's been working with the young people who are part of the climate strike protests. It's been really inspirational to see the passion and the importance that this subject has to them.
The fact that it has been put on by young people showing older people the way forward.
The wrong Amazon is burning sign, because that sign was always there. So seeing that on the wall is like pretty cool. It was there from like the first one basically. So
I think for me, it's the fact that young people have come together to make a difference and they're being given proper consideration and credibility by being in an institution like this museum.
It is a really great exposition that shows all the work that these young people have put into this organization and into climate activism. At the exhibition opening, there was also a really great environment, like everyone was talking, and there was a bunch of vegan food, which for me, a vegetarian, it is a big plus.
Ooh, I think for me, the hardest hitting thing when looking at any climate change activism is seeing the difference in old photographs taken by NASA, where the Earth used to be so green and vibrant 10 years ago, and now it just seems so washed out and grey. But to be honest, I can relate to that.
Word on the street.
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 Now, to learn more about the Climate Strike exhibition and its idea behind it, we had a conversation with Tyler Grant-Hooley and Quinn from the Climate Strike Leicester.
How long did it take you to put this exhibition together?
I feel like we started planning it about a year ago now, actually. I think we started talk about making a project like this, but the actual planning for it started about a year ago this month.
How does having an exhibition celebrating your work as an organization makes you feel?
I mean, I think it's amazing as a group of young people, and for a lot of young people to have something like an exhibition in a museum is such a big thing. And I think it's really telling of how much work this group puts into it.
Yeah, I think the goal with the exhibition was always to sort of showcase all of the work that we put into this project and also into the organisation as a whole, and sort of memorialise it so that people could look back and see that there was a climate strike movement within Leicester, but also to like continue the legacy. I mean, if anyone wants to pick it up from now, I think that climate change isn't going anywhere. We need people who are excited and interested and passionate about this.
So since we last spoke, you still haven't found anyone to take the mantle?
No, we haven't so far. I think part of that is because there's not so much national attention around it. But like Jo said previously, when she did her speech, I think we have achieved the goal that we set out to achieve. There's greater education around climate justice, and I think that if this movement grows and changes into something new, that's fine. That's okay. I'm happy with where it is right now. So we're not really like actively searching to find new people to take it on.
The exhibition has a documentary. What is the documentary about?
So the documentary itself, it's partially telling about the CSL story and where it came from. Another part of it is talking about how important we feel climate activism and student activism is. And again, it's one of those things where if you can make people think about the topic, then that goes a long way.
I'm sure you might have heard older people saying, oh, you're too young, you don't know anything about it. But how does having things like this, like an exhibition in a public museum, do you think that brings more credibility to us as youth?
Yeah, definitely. I think people can look at this and see not only that we are who we say we are, we've acted on the things that we say we're going to do and that we've done it successfully through strike action, but also that we're an organization full of really capable young people who are able to organize ourselves and actually put this thing together. And I think that really demonstrates to anyone who's ever doubted the fact that we are able to do that, because we're standing here, we've got the proof here to show you.
If you could only use three words to describe this exhibition, what words would you pick?
I think it's very thoughtful, very impactful, and powerful.
For me, I guess like emotional, fun, and educational.
Is there anything else you would like to add for the people listening or are maybe interested in joining the climate strike or creating one in their hometown?
Just do it, because there's nothing to lose. You are strong enough to be able to create these things. Even if you feel like you're just one person, there are going to be people who feel the same way. And so you should definitely get involved. It was life-changing for me, and so I'm really pleased that I did it. If you're younger, or even if you're like in university and you've never got involved with these kinds of things, you absolutely should, because they make so much difference to the way that you will like vote in the future, the way that you will go about your career. It changes your whole world perspective, so you should do it.
I also feel like if you have a passion about anything, there is definitely some way you can include that passion into climate activism or activism generally, and it's a very impactful way to use your passions.
See, my stance is always that we need to protect Mother Earth as much as we can. Like, you know the thing where they say, look after your body because one day it will look after you? I feel like we need to apply that same philosophy to planet Earth, because we only get one Earth and Mars isn't inhabitable yet.
That is true. Yeah, I recommend you all to go to the exhibition at the New York Museum, which is running until the 24th of April. If you don't have time to pop up into the museum, you can watch their documentary on YouTube. Just search Climate Strike Cluster on most social media platforms and you'll find a link to the documentary. Now, while we're still talking about climate, we have a little message from Zina from the Climate Action Leicester, who was with us a couple of shows ago. So the Climate Action Leicester in Leicestershire is holding a Divest from Crisis demonstration today. It is part of the National Divest Day of Action, with many other events happening all over the country. We'll begin at the Leicester Clock Tower at 5:30 and then move down together to the Town Hall Square end of Gallows 3 Gate in order to have speeches from 5:50 p.m. The demo will end at 6:30 p.m. Feel free to bring your own play card based on the theme Digest from Crisis, Invest in Our Futures. So if you are interested and you want to participate in the demo, just go to the clock tower today at 5:30 and bring some friends if you can.
This is Leicester's Student Sound.
Demon FM.
Now, Carolina had a little chat with Jorge Lamberto. That's how Carolina told me to say it. A history student at Nova University of Lisbon, to understand more about the National Student Day in Portugal.
The National Student Day in Portugal, it happens in the 24th of March of every year. And it's a day for us to remember the fight that happened in the 60s, to have a day to continue that fight and to get together and celebrate our youth and our life as a students.
And what led to this academic crisis in the 60s?
The academic crisis of 62 had a number of reasons. The main one was that we were living in a fascist dictatorship where all life was controlled and repressed. In 61, 1 year earlier, began the colonial war and many young people were being sent to fight it. And that the fact that it was expensive to go to universities and faculties. And if you think already with the expenses, you were going to be controlled and repressed and attacked, many people got angry at the government, so they decided to get organized and fight.
What were students able to achieve back in those days?
Funny enough, they weren't able to achieve much because of the oppressive regime. But the thing that we should outline is that they made a stand. As a student, as young people, they were not going to stay quiet. They were going to get organized and fight for freedom and their rights. And that's what they did.
And how has the student fight evolved since then?
Well, the students' fight after 62 evolved in an interesting way. If after the sad academic crisis, the students had to go covert and become more cautious because of the oppressive regime. After 74, the 25th of April of 74, the Carnation Revolution, the revolution that overthrew the dictatorship government and installed democracy, the students from then to now were able to express themselves freely. And that is the game changer to the student fight, not needing to meet in secrecy, being able to create students' unions, being able to talk to every student in an openly manner, being able to talk about our beliefs, events, demonstration, protests. It is something magical to live.
The motto for this year's National Student Day is, for how long are you going to let the wall rise? What is this wall?
Basically, this is a wall made by several bricks. These several bricks compose the hardships that the students have to come through to get to the universities and faculties. There are the tuition fees that are too much for several students to pay, the lack of residence and beds to houses, the bad network of transports, etc. But I'd say the biggest brick in this wall is the foundation regime. Basically, it's a private entity created so that the state doesn't have to bother with the students. This entity keeps the students from university councils, controls the tuitions, adds costs and interest to a bunch of mundane things that should be right and free. So our motto is that you, as a student, how much are you going to let this wall rise and get bigger and bigger and stop more and more students from getting to higher education?
How did you celebrate this day in this year, 2023?
We did a demonstration that ended up at the National Assembly and gathered hundreds of students for that. We shouted on the streets, we painted signs, we had fun. And that's, I think, the most important thing, to fight and have fun while we do the right thing for us and for the next generations.
How important do you think it is to have this unified fight in this day all over the country?
Well, as the saying goes, I think two heads are stronger than one. So think about thousands of students going to the streets and protesting for a better life, for a more democratic and fair education. It's cheesy to say this, but it's the truth. Teamwork makes a dream work. And the bigger the numbers, the stronger we get, and the more changes we can make to our lives and to our future.
What reivindications are you fighting for in your university in specific?
We are trying to end the control of the foundational regime, trying to get the government to invest in our infrastructures because it rains in our classrooms and cafeteria. And last year we had a problem with roaches, to increase the number and value of the scholarships and to increase the number of beds and improve the condition of the residents. In our residence, our elevators don't work. We have problems with the internet. Bunch of fridges and ovens don't work. It's a sad life.
If you could, what would you say to students worldwide who are unsatisfied with their student conditions?
Don't let anyone say you can't dream or achieve the life you want because you just don't have the money or because they say this is the way thing works. Get together, unite yourselves and change this world to a more and fair one. Don't be afraid to do the right choice and to take the next step.
So that was me speaking with Jorge Lambert from the Nova University of Lisbon about today, the 24th of March, which is, back in Portugal, the Student National Day. I really wonder what it must have been like to be a student in a regime where you were just prevented from speaking your mind. I think it is really good to see, not only in Portugal, but all over the world, that now people can just show their discontent and fight for change.
I always find it interesting that life as a student can have the craziest differences from country to country, but somehow the one thing we always have in common is partying.
No, that's always there.
I love
everywhere
that.
Everywhere you go.
Love that for us.
By the way, keep tweeting at us over at Twitter at DemonFM on our Twitter. Let us know what your favorite song is.
You are listening to Word on the Street. Get involved with the show and tweet us at DemonFM on Twitter.
You're currently tuned into Demon FM, listening to Word on the Street, the finale. We're almost at the end of our show now, but don't worry, we aren't finished yet.
Now, going to a student fight to another. In our third show, we had a chat with Oliver Lyle about the rent strike in the University of Manchester over the lack of quality in student accommodation. Students withheld almost £500,000 worth of rent in an effort for their cries for help to be heard.
From mice visiting students' rooms at night to black mold infested flats, it is really concerning. We checked in with Oliver for some updates on how students in Manchester are getting on.
Just after a few days after we spoke on the 8th of February, you started occupying three University of Manchester buildings. What led you to do that and what were your reivindications?
Occupations are a great form of student protest and direct action. The University of Manchester, like a huge university, and quite frankly, during all the strikes and us not paying the rent, make it a brush up underneath the rug, really. So this is a bit more direct, you know, banners flying out over students. It coincided with the UCE strikes, which we obviously want to show our solidarity for. So it's kind of just an action that brings us into a forefront of the conversation and forces the uni hands into making it like an actual response against us.
How do you prepare for an occupation like this?
So you have to be really careful and secretive in some cases, because you can't really tell what's going to go on with the individual university. If you look at other universities across the country, University of Manchester, the occupation is pretty much the only one which managed to not go crazy at the start. Like, it obviously has ended very badly, but a lot of universities just don't know how to handle them. So planning an occupation, you need to kind of scout out the building, plan, do tactical buildings as well, and just have enough people with you where you can hold out for a long enough time within the building.
One of the buildings occupied was the John Owen Senior Manager Building, which has the offices of the important roles within the university, like Vice Chancellor. You're saying that it's crucial to be tactical. Was that a tactical decision?
I mean, I can't speak on behalf for everyone who organised everything, but it's definitely a big message to send to university when they wake up in the morning and they're locked out of their management offices because around 18 students or so barricaded themselves within those offices and even security couldn't get in.
Do you know how the spirit was inside?
Yeah, from like all the Zoom calls I held with everyone in them, it seems all very positive. You're obviously staying in either in a very small part of a building or a couple of rooms of the building, so you get to know everyone like around you quite well. So it's just kind of a very friendly atmosphere, and you do need to make sure you keep positive and keep happy, because it's any sort of form of protest, you need to keep going. You can't really get yourself set back by things not occurring.
How did the university security team and the university management dealt with this situation?
There was an obvious route, which was to talk to protesters, engage in dialogue about why protesters decided this was the correct thing to do. Instead, this wasn't seen. So with security, University of Manchester hired out security, and these security guards, they weren't good. They were like blocking access to food, blocking access to like sanitary products. So that wasn't going very well. And then management wise, kind of just inflammatory statements, but still refusing to speak to anyone directly, so like going through the press. There was very little to no communication between occupiers and senior management and security.
What about the rest of the student body? What feedback have you been getting?
I do think it's overall positive, because with the occupations, it wasn't just about rent strike demands. We're also raising awareness for how short-funded students now are in the UK. Student maintenance loans have only gone up, I think, about 2-3% now. And that's been confirmed in, you know, the next budget. And students are 11 to like 15% worse off in any sort of next maintenance loan. So one of our demands was large cash rebate for all students, something that University of Manchester can afford. They're a very rich uni. They have 1.5 billion in unrestricted reserves just sitting on an account. The protest was alongside with other demands, which is aid everyone, not just people in first years.
While still occupying the John Owens building, you started occupying the Simon building. I know a lot of things happened in this occupation inside the Simon building. Could you talk a little bit about it?
just many things kept happening. One that stood out to me was that back at my university, spent so much money creating a 410-page court document to take their own students to court to get them out of a building. That's probably another moment which it's just in my head now. It's kind of ridiculous. The university security actually locks people inside, which very, very much not allowed. So there was around a 10-15 minute window where every door to enter in and to exit were locked, which is very shocking. And then obviously this was a day after taking to court and the bailiffs were brought. NET, which is like for private bailiff companies, are a very, very notable bailiff company. They normally do the very extreme kind of like getting rid of protesters. So they use these very borderline militant bailiff group to kick out around 20 students who were still occupying the Simon building. Obviously, once the possession order was granted through courts, this was going to happen at any time. I think everyone was very surprised at the severity of how they've done it. I believe there was a few bruises and a couple of sprained wrists, but apart from that, there wasn't any serious injuries.
This was me speaking with Oliver Lyle, one of the representatives of the rent strike in the Manchester University. The things that have been happening in this strike are insane. It is incredible how the university management is just doing everything in their capacity to just not speak with their students. If you are interested in learning more and seeing actual pictures and footage of the occupations, just follow the rent strike on their Twitter and Instagram at rentstrikeUOM.
I honestly think that, in my personal opinion, some landlords do take advantage of students, though, since we're young and naive and we really don't know what's going on 90% of the time. But I really do hope that this issue gets solved really soon.
No, yeah, me too. Thank you to Oliver for talking with us and updating us on the rent strike. Over on our Twitter, we asked you, what is your favorite song? We have a couple of answers. We have a new one from Natasha saying Company by Drake and Travis Scott.
Oh, I love that one. That's a very good, very good song. Yeah. But now we have, you guessed it, the artist spotlight. This is our final artist spotlight. I know, sad times. But today we bring to you a female rapper from Brixton, South London, who goes by the name Queen Leash. Here's Queen Leash with a few words.
My name is Queen Leash and I'm a rapper from South London. There's a lot of things that inspired me to start doing music, but I'd say the main thing is being able to express myself. My advice to any upcoming artist is that, look, you see in the music industry, there's a lot of competition. Anyone will tell you that for free. So you've got to be willing to come out of your comfort zone, try new things, don't always play it safe, and confidence is key. I feel like as a female artist as well, you've got to do all of them things, but 10 times harder. And yeah, you can find me on social media. You can find me on Instagram at Queen Leash and TikTok, Queen Leash Zero. I am Queen Leash and you're tuning into A Word on the Street. Here's my latest release called I Don't Know.
Is that you, SA?
Word on the Street.
It's Queen Leash. I am mean.
I don't know. I don't know. He was talking all that west. Now where he at? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't fear no you. I get it from my big bro.
Man, only grind for the show. Where's your work from all the years on the road? I don't know, huh?
No.
It's all cap, they don't fly for that bro. He was talking all that wax. Where he at? I don't know, huh? I don't know. I don't know. He was talking all that wax. Now where he at? I don't know, huh?
No.
I don't know. I don't know, I don't fear no you, I get it from my big bro. First things first, I'm a bitch, I'm a boss. Missed out on the kid, then that's nothing but your loss. I'ma get my lip back all year with no remorse. Hear a couple rhymes, now they counting for the sauce. Only got love for the money, so I drop my new bae. But I love a Niger man, cause I don't play safe. Being humble, gonna grab first place. They'll see in due time, it was all God's grace. Been the talk of the town and they can't keep up. Guess they all hate the kid, but I stay untouched. I stay and do what I want, cause he got it tucked. I see them all watch your face, but it's all love. You know my ting blessed, show a look of interest. Been a go-getter, so that stack is not an interest. We too charged up, they can never ride the wave. I don't play by the rules, I like to misbehave. These man, only grind for the show. Where's your work from all the years on the road? I don't know, huh?
No.
It's all cap, they don't fly for that bro. He was talking all that wax. Where he at? I don't know, huh? I don't know. I don't know. He was talking all that wax. Now where he at? I don't know, huh?
No.
I don't know. How no, I don't fear no you, I get it from my big bro. Anyways, man, I got it like that. Thick thighs, big back and a fresh foot tap. Gotta keep a few n****s on my side, I can't lie. But don't worry, when I'm done, I'ma running right back, huh? I'm just too bossy with it and I don't give a fuck. No more being humble, it's time to level up. Took risks for this, it ain't just luck. The work rate been mad, I'm too charged up. Ain't gotta do the most, still grab the attention. Don't need new friends, get the fuck out my mention. Lit in real life, they only lit up in a section. Buying up the bud and going home with your brethren. Cause all cats, they ain't got it like that. True with guys for image, they don't care if he's a rat. Stand on what I say, I ain't never circle back. And I'm real to the core, the gang know about that. These man, only grind for the show. Where's your work from all the years on the road? I don't know, huh? It's all cap, they don't slide for their bro. He was talking all that wax, where he at? I don't know, huh? I don't know. I don't know, he was talking all that wax, now where he at? I don't know, huh? I don't know, I don't know, I don't fear no you, I get it from my big bro. These man only grind for the show. Where's your work from all the years on the road? I don't know, huh? It's all cap, they don't slide for their bro. He was talking all that wax, where he at? I don't know, huh? I don't know, I don't know, he was talking all that wax, now where he at? I don't know, huh? I don't know. I don't know, I don't fear no you, I get it from my big bro. Where's your work from all the years on the road? I don't know, huh? He was talking all that wax, where he at? I don't know, huh?
And that was Queen Lish with I Don't Know. Usually, I must admit, it's not my style, but I did like the song. It is a really great song. And I'm so happy about all the artists that we were able to boost in our shows and just play their songs.
Honestly, I feel like we've had some really talented people on this show.
We did.
Some really talented people. Yeah, I really agreed with what she said in her little memo about working harder as a woman in the music industry as well, because I personally know a couple female musicians and rappers, and it is very true. You do need to push a lot harder to gain that recognition. But make sure you follow Queen Lish on Instagram at Queen Lish, that's QUENLESHH.
Yeah, thank you, Queen Lish, for joining us on the show. It is time to read out your replies to our question over on Twitter. We asked you what your favorite song is. We still have the answers from Jack, who's saying at the moment it's Undisclosed Desires by Muse, and Natasha saying Company, Drake and Travis Scott.
You know what? Travis Scott is my all-time favorite artist. Did you know that?
I don't hear Travis Scott that much.
I have a statue of him in my room that stares at me every day.
Oh, wait, I need more information now.
It's not a statue, it's a figurine, I actually promise.
How big?
It's like an Action Man kind of figure.
Oh, okay.
Because he released a couple of them, but...
Yeah. I'm not even going to ask how much that's
cost. Oh, yeah, don't do that.
It is also time to reveal the answer to my riddle. Do you have any final guess, Leah?
I want to say 2 million.
2 million.
Yeah.
So in our Twitter, we have Natasha again saying 1 million. So the answer to the riddle, in the academic year of 2021-2022, how many international students were pursuing their degree in UK is... 679,970.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. This is according to the higher education statistics. There's a bunch of people just studying in the UK. I mean, I'm one of them. Jingay is also. So.
Wow.
It's just full of international students.
Yeah. No, that is a bit of insanity.
Okay, this is our last show.
Yeah.
What do you think is your favorite bit from all of them?
I think my favorite bit from the show is when we were on here ranting about our student accommodation. But I also really enjoyed when we were talking with the comedians Kevin Daniel and Alice Frick.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I read Alice Frick's book, 10 out of 10.
Really?
10 out of 10.
I have to read it. You have to borrow me.
Yeah, 10 out of 10.
I have to read it.
Mm-hmm.
I always say my favorite bit of the show, well, that's a complicated one. I did like my the silverfish joke.
Yeah.
I really liked that. I think I did really good. But we just had so many interesting people coming and so many organizations. And I hope you guys at home go into our podcast on Spotify at Demon FM and just listen back to our shows. And again, if you didn't have the opportunity of listening to it live, just go listen to it because they're really great.
Okay, so that's a wrap for Word on the Street, the finale. It has been a blast here on Demon FM and we really hope you enjoyed our shows as much as we did.
Thank you to our listeners for tuning in, engaging and making this show a success.
And as always, thank you to our team here in the studio, Leanne, Jingay and Lariah.
And finally, a big thank you to Tyler and Quinn, George and Oliver for contributing to the show. And as always, a huge thank you to you, the people of Leicester, for talking to us.
I guess this is goodbye. Thank you for tuning in. See ya.
Bye. Have a nice Easter.
Word on the street.
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 Word on the street.